All right, gang. Come on back in. We'll get going here. This is a good day to get outside. Anyone know what's significant about today? Packers Family Night is on tonight. Only in Wisconsin would they sell 70,000 tickets to a practice. But it's fun. But we are working our way through our summer series. And again, if you're maybe been gone some this summer or this is your first time here, what we're doing is we're taking the whole summer and walking through a passage in the Old Testament. It's a famous passage in the book of Ecclesiastes. They made a song out of it back in the 60s. And it's we're calling it a time for everything. And what it is all of these different matched pairs. There's a time to do this and a time to do this, and they tend to be opposites. Like last week we talked about there's a time to embrace and a time to not embrace. And all of these different matched pairs there that we're walking through and talking about, what do these things mean? How do we apply them? And again, the reason for it, here, two-thirds of the way through the summer, I'm going to give you a little pop quiz. Whenever I'm up here, we've had all kinds of different men talking about this, but whenever I'm up here, I say there's a reason for the book of Ecclesiastes. It was written for a certain purpose. Anyone remember what that purpose is? Live well in... Right, it's to live well. God wants us to know how to conduct ourselves here on this earth, and we all want that. Everybody wants to live well. I mean, nobody wakes up and thinks, I'm looking for a bad day today. That's what I'm shooting for. We want to learn how to live well. So God understands that. He teaches us how to live well, but to live well in what? A broken world. This world doesn't work the way that it should. God created it to be perfect, but sin broke it. And so now things are harder than they used to be. Now we're, and I've used the analogy of driving a car without brakes. You can still do it, but it's just a whole lot harder. You got to pay more attention. It's a little bit more dangerous. So God wants us to learn how to live well in this broken world. How do we do that? There was one more part to that thing. We live well in a broken world, but we live what? Anyone remember? We live in light of eternity. We live in light of eternity. In other words, this world is broken, but God isn't broken. God still works. His hand is still here. He still speaks to us. He still leads us. So we can live well here because God is separated from this broken world and he can speak here. Things might be harder here. Life here on earth is going to be harder for you and I than God intended it, because of sin. So we have to work harder. It's going to take more work, but we can do it well, and this life is temporary. The best is yet to come. We have something better to look forward to. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you know, we talk about this a lot, excuse me, how the world is broken because of sin. We sinned. We turned our backs on God. God created us to know him, to be close to him, to live here with us. When God created this world, he was right here. He walked with the people that he created, talked to them, just like we're doing right now. Last week we talked about physical touch. My understanding is that they could touch God physically. They were right there with him. That's what God designed it, and it was perfect. It was great. They worked, and it was wonderful, and they loved each other, and there wasn't sin in the world. Sin separated us from God. When we chose to sin, when those original people that God created turned their back on God and said, no, we're going to disobey. We're going to dishonor you, God. We're going to go our own way. In essence, what they said is that we want to be our own gods. And so God gave them the choice, and he pulled back. He left this earth. And when the Creator left this earth, the whole thing broke. And then we are separated from God. And our sin separates us from God for all of eternity. But God so loved you. He was so excited about you and all those people. All of us have sinned. All of us have turned our back on God. All of us have broken that relationship. But God likes you so much. His passion for you is so great that he chose to do something to give you an opportunity to come back. He sent his only son. God himself came down and paid the penalty that I deserved, that you deserved, because of our sin. I sinned. I deserve to be separated from God forever. Jesus came and paid my penalty. And if I accept that, if I let him pay the penalty, he offers it to me, he offers it to you. And if I say, yes, I want to come back. I know I'm separated from you, God, because of my own sin. But I want to be back with you. I feel you calling me. I know I need you and I can't fix myself. I will just let Jesus pay my penalty. If you do that, God says, we're born again. That's where that term came from. We become a new creature. We suddenly are brought back into relationship with God, and then I live the rest of my life looking forward to something better, looking forward to heaven. I'm going to leave this broken earth someday. We all are. We're all going to leave this broken world someday. But if you've accepted Christ, you go to that perfect world that God created, that God intended all along. So we live well in this broken world in light of that, that this is hard, but the best is yet to come, okay? That's what we do. So that's what this whole series is about. Now, walking through these ordered pairs today, and again, we've been through several of them, and we're kind of getting close to the end. Here's where we're up to today. In Ecclesiastes, I'll just read it. It says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, and it lays out all these ones. The ones that we're up to today is this: a time to search and a time to give up. Time to search and a time to give up. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what that means, and then we're going to talk about what we do with it, how we apply that, okay? And to know what it means, we're going to look into those Hebrew words a little bit. Now, by the way, just a small point. If you want to do this, there are all kinds of resources out there for you. You can go online and find Hebrew. You can just type in these words and say, what's the Hebrew word? And you can find it. Or you have books. If you're an old-fashioned guy like me, you can read books. And the books will tell you the same thing. But we're going to look at what the Hebrew means here. So that first word, there's two things there. Search and give up. So what does that mean? Well, that first one, search, literally means to strive, to and the thought there is chasing something. It's setting goals, it's strategizing, and it's working hard to get to that goal. You're working, you're trying to get somewhere, okay? That's the meaning of that word. It's kind of like if you are a gardener, you understand what this is. My mom and my dad, when I was a boy, had huge gardens. And so they would start thinking about the garden. Now, they wanted their own produce. Mom and dad were into natural food before it was cool. And so they wanted their own produce. And so they would plan. That was the goal. We want to eat our own food as much as we can. So they would strategize, all right? Where are we going to put the garden? What are we going to plant? What things do we want to plant? Do we have to put manure on the garden? They would think about what's going to happen. They would, in the spring, they would till that soil. Dad would be out there with a rototiller, turning that ground over. Then we would plant the things and think about it. And then we would work hard all summer long to make it happen. We'd plant the seeds. We'd water them if it didn't water. We'd be pulling weeds. And we'd pick the beans and the tomatoes and the lettuce and every other thing that we grew in our garden. That's kind of what it's like. That's what I want out there. Here are the things that I have to do to get there, and I'm going to work them, okay? That's what that word means. There's a time to strive. There's a time to set goals, to strategize toward completing those goals, and then to work hard to get to them. That second word, give up, literally means to surrender. And it's a very different kind of word. I'm just going to yield. I'm going to wait for something else to happen. I'm going to cease. I'm going to stop. I'm going to give up. I'm not going to work. It's the opposite of what we just said. I'm not going to try to make anything happen. I'm not going to work hard. I'm not going to strategize and think about the things that need to happen. I'm not even necessarily going to look out there and say, this is what I want. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to stop where I'm at and sit down and wait. I'm not going to do anything. When my dad died and my mom got older, she just decided, you know what, I don't want this huge garden anymore. And so what she did was she stopped. And you know what happens if you stop working a garden? Stuff still grows in it. And we got spinach for some years afterward. Spinach would just keep coming. If you go up to where I grew up, there's still rhubarb growing up there. And there's still flowers, wildflowers, that are just reseeding themselves and growing up. There's also a lot of just grass filled in, some weeds. Over time, what happens is, you know, I grew up up north where that's going to grow up into trees. The forest is going to take over. So if you don't work something, you're just waiting to see what happens. And in those garden plots, instead of there being a goal and a strategy and work to make something specific happen on that little piece of ground, now what's happening is mom just stood back and she's just, whatever comes up, comes up. That's the feel here, okay? Those are the two different things. So really, I think what it comes down to is this. Or the way that I would describe these things are this. There's a time to pursue a goal. There's a time to pursue a goal, to work hard to make something happen. And then there's a time to submit to God. There's a time to pursue a goal and a time to submit to God. Luke, can you flip to the next one there? To search is to pursue a goal. To give up is to submit to God. Not submit to destiny. Now, if we weren't Christians, if we didn't believe that we were living life here in light of eternity, that might be we just submit to destiny. We submit to fate. And if it wasn't for God, that's all we would have. I either work hard to get what I want, or I just sit back and let chance and fate happen. But we don't believe that because we live well in a broken world, recognizing that God still has a hand in here. So, to search is to pursue a goal. To give up is to submit to God, okay? One thing, I'm seeing where I want to go. I'm seeing what I have to do to get there, and I'm working hard to make it happen. The other one is I'm letting God decide what's going to happen. I'm not really part of making it happen. I'm waiting. I'm yielding. I'm surrendering. God's doing it all, okay? Now, it's very interesting here, or it's important for us to recognize something. What we're talking about here is the process, not the result, okay? The emphasis here is on the process, not the result. We tend to be, maybe some of us tend to be very goal-oriented or very results-oriented. What's going to happen? What am I going to get? What do I need? What's at the end of the road here? God thinks about that. That's important. There's times for that. But what we're talking about here is the process. Here's where I am now. In time, I'm going to be somewhere else. Something else is going to happen. What we're talking about is what do I do? What is my role between now and then? Not where am I going, but what am I doing before I get there? Does that make sense? Maybe this is a way to explain it. Keeping the garden theme, my wife and I moved out into the country several years ago, and Sue, my wife, likes flowers, so she decided she wanted a perennial garden. We tried doing the vegetable garden thing and decided we're not vegetable gardeners. It's what the farmer's market is for. So instead, we decided to, Sue wanted flowers. So we tilled up a spot, and Sue planted perennials in there. And for quite a while, she was pursuing a goal. And so she would get her friends to come out and she would go to greenhouses and she would learn, okay, what are the perennials? What are the flowers that will grow well here? And how should I arrange them so that, you know, they bloom at different times? So I've got constant blooms, you know, and you put the tall ones in the back and the short ones in the front. And so she worked that garden. She knew what she wanted. She strategized to make it happen. And she worked it, she weeded it, she planted it every year she was working on it. The result was there were flowers in our backyard. But her way of getting there was very much pursuing a goal. A few years back, Sue decided she didn't want to do that anymore. Didn't want the work, had other things to do. So she had me go into the perennial garden, dig up the flowers, and pitch them in the woods. That's what I did. dug up the flowers, and the woods were right there. I just threw them in the woods, one after the next, empty piece of land. If you walk out to my house and look, there's still really cool flowers growing out there. They're just out in the woods. And so the result was the same, but the process that we got there was very different. Does that make sense? Sue wanted flowers, and so one way she did it is she said, this is what I want. I'm going to work it and strategize, and there's the flowers. The other way was, I don't want to do all that work, so we're just going to see what happens. We didn't do anything, and there's the flowers. Now, it's different, and different flowers and all that stuff, but do you see the point, guys? Are you with me? What we're talking about here is not the end goal. It's the process. Does that make sense? You're all looking at me like I'm crazy. What we're talking about here is the process. What do I do to get down the road? Not where am I going, but what am I going to do between now and then? That's what we're talking about. Hopefully that makes sense to you, because everything we talk about from here on out is focusing in on that, talking about the process. Let's just keep going here. Maybe this will become more clear as we go. Let's take each of these things and talk about it, all right? Here's the first one. There's a time to pursue a goal. There's a time to search, to strive, to pursue a goal. Certainly we see that in all kinds of different places, and there's different examples of that here in the Bible. Here's a guy named Paul who understood this concept and did it here in Colossians. Paul was writing a letter, and he's talking about his life, and he says this. In verse 28 of Colossians chapter 1 says, we proclaim him. He's talking about Jesus. We proclaim Jesus, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. So there we see Paul's doing that. I want people to know about Jesus. That's my goal. That's what I'm shooting for. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to labor at it. We're admonishing, we're teaching with all wisdom. I'm struggling with God's strength. He was pursuing a goal, right? He was just going for something. He knew where he wanted to go. He knew what he wanted to accomplish. He was doing what he had to do to get there. We see that. Jesus did that here in Luke chapter 13. I like this. He came here with a very specific purpose. And here in Luke chapter 13, verse 32, this is Jesus speaking. He replied, go tell that fox. He's talking about King Herod who wanted to kill him. Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. Very much pursuing a goal. Look, that's where I'm going. And I know what I have to do to get there, and nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to take the steps that I need to take to get to where I want to go. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. He knew what he had to do to get there, and he did. So here we see two guys, two examples in the Bible where that happened. They pursued a goal, okay? And God tells us to do that as well. In 1 Timothy, there's quite a bit of verses here. We're just going to kind of go through these quickly. In 1 Timothy 4, Paul, that same guy that we were talking about, speaking to a younger man who's coming up after him, says to him, hey, Timothy, you be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. And Paul is telling Timothy, hey, you got to work hard, pal. Know what you're shooting for. What are you good at? He's talking about Timothy's gifts. Know what your gifts are and work at them. Use them. Be effective. Be efficient. That's what you're shooting for, buddy. Come with me. Let everybody see your progress. Work hard. So God tells us to do that. In Proverbs, in the Old Testament, I like this verse. For years I've thought about this verse. It says, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. And that's an admonition to us, I think, to be pursuing a goal, to be somewhat driven. Gosh, that's where I want to go. And if I work hard at it, there will be an impact. That verse goes on and says, he will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. So I can do well or poorly. I can achieve more than I would otherwise if I know where I'm going, if I work hard to get there, okay? So there are times we see examples and we see God commanding us. There are times for us to pursue a goal. So with our lives, what might that look like? Well, could look like all kinds of things. Here's one thing it looked like for me. Early on in my life, I decided I wanted to be a lawyer. You know, everybody needs to get a job, earn money. Well, when I was a young guy, I don't know, in junior high, high school, I decided for my job, I want to be a lawyer. So there's the goal. It's out there a ways. You know, I'm 12, 13 years old, and that's a long way away, but that's what I'm shooting for. So I knew if I want to be a lawyer, there's certain things that have to happen. You have to go to college. You have to go to law school. There's no other way to do it. You can't just go get a job as a lawyer. This is the path that you have to take. So I started recognizing, all right, I'm going to have to go to college. So through high school, I know I'm going to go to college. And so I started applying to colleges, got into college. And I knew that my college career, my time in undergrad wasn't going to be the end. And I had to do well enough in undergrad to get into a law school, because that's a graduate school and that's a little bit harder to get into. So, you know, I got to keep up my studies well enough so that I can get into law school. And then late in my college career, I started applying to law schools. All right, where do I want to go? Can I afford this? Is this a good school? And so I was applying. In law school, applications are crazy. I'm writing these essay after essay after essay, sending these things out. Costs money to apply to law schools. Back then, it was, I don't know, $100 an application or something like that. And wow. So there, I'm strategizing. I'm thinking. I'm working hard. I got into a law school, but I'm not done yet. I got to graduate from law school. And so I'm reading cases, and I'm trying to figure out this stuff. Finally, after years of knowing what I needed to do, strategizing, trying to make it happen, I graduated from law school. Well, then I got to get a job. So I'm applying for jobs, but I finally got my job. Okay, so that's an example of it, right? That's what I want. I want to be a lawyer. So as a 12-year-old boy, I'm looking down the road and saying, what I want to do is be a lawyer. So here are the things I have to do. I'm going to work hard to make them happen. Right? We understand that. There's a time for that. That's what God says to us. There's a time for that. A time to pursue a goal. There is also a time to submit to God. There's a time to act very differently. Okay? Here we see David in Psalm 16. David is another guy in the Bible. You know, we talk about Paul and Jesus, and it's easy to say, well, those are kind of like the big heavyweights. You know, obviously Jesus, he's God himself, and Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Well, if that's what they're doing, that's what all of us should do. Well, I don't know, because David, he's sure a Bible heavyweight as well. He was one of the first kings of Israel. God said, man, you're the best king ever. I'm going to compare every king for the rest of recorded time to you, David. David understood God, He was seeking God. So, but David said this in Psalm 16. This is a verse I think about a lot. This is David speaking. He says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion in my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I think about this verse a lot because what David is saying here is, Lord, you know, my portion in my cup, but that's just kind of flowery language for saying what I'm going to get in life. My provisions, the things that I need, Lord, you have assigned them to me. In other words, you've decided what I'm going to get in this world. David didn't say, I want to be king. He said, no, I'm going to let God decide what I get. You've assigned it, Lord, and you've made my lot secure. In other words, you're going to make sure that I get it. I don't even have to do anything. You're going to make it happen. You've laid out boundary lines for me. David, you can't go past here or here or here. Here are your boundary lines. Boundary lines mean I'm within this boundary. David said, well, Lord, you've laid out boundary lines for me. I didn't lay them out. They're just there, and I'm okay with that. David, I think, here, is saying, you know what? I'm very willing just to submit to God. I'm not going to, in this case, decide this is what I'm after in life. This is what I need to do to get there, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it happen. He's saying, no, Lord, you do all of that. You choose what I'm going to get. You choose when I'm going to get it. You make it happen, and I'll wait for you to do it. Very different. Very different than Paul. Here's another example of that. A king named Jehoshaphat, later than David, was in a tough situation. He was the king of Israel. They were being invaded by a huge nation that they couldn't fight. And if you read through here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you know, this juggernaut of an army has been rolling through the Middle East, conquering one nation after the next, and they're coming up to Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat is the king of Israel. Jerusalem is the capital. And he's seeing this coming, and he says to God, "We can't fight these guys. There is no way that we can do this." So he went to God and said, "What do we do?" And here in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17, God says this to him. God says to Jehoshaphat, "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. You don't have to fight this. Just sit. Watch. Don't strive. Don't pursue a goal. Don't let your Bible fall on the ground. Don't get the army ready. Don't bother. Don't get the horses. Don't call the Egyptians for help. Just watch." Wow. That's a different thing, isn't it? Then we got to fight these guys. What do we got to do to win? Let's make it happen. No, just stand back. You don't have to fight this battle. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Different situation, an example of a man in the Bible that just submitted to God. And there are times when God tells us to do that. I like this verse here in Psalm 46:10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Or cease striving. Cease striving. In other words, do what that... Remember when I said... Remember when I defied a defined give up to surrender? I used words that most of us probably don't like. Yield, wait, cease. That's what God is saying here. Cease. Cease striving. Sit. Wait. Be still. You don't have to do anything. Wait for me. And know that I am God. There's a verse here in Isaiah. This is. I'll read this and then I'll explain it just a little bit. But again, it's a reminder to us that this is something we need to do from time to time. This is in Isaiah chapter 50, verses 10 and 11. It says this, "Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." In other words, what he's saying here is there are times when there, you know, it's dark. I can't see. I don't know where I'm going. I need direction. I need guidance. I can't just sit here. I need something to happen. That's what God is saying. If you're walking in the dark, if you have no light, here's what you should do. Trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. And then he says this, "But now, all you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches." In other words, gosh, it's dark. I don't know where I'm going. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to do something. I got to make a fire so I can see. I got to make a plan. I need to change this situation. God says, if you do that, go, walk in the light of your fires, and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you will receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. And I don't think God is saying, I'm going to punish you. I think what he's saying is, look, if you try to solve this yourself, it's not going to work. You're going to wish that you had just waited for me to deliver you in a way that only I can do. So there's a time for that, guys. There's a time to pursue a goal. There is a time to surrender, to submit to God. For me, I mean, what's that look like for us? Well, it's all kinds of times when we have to do that. I had to, as a young man, I really, really, really wanted to get married. Just really did. And I really, really, really wanted to marry this certain girl. Just really did. And she really, really, really made it clear to me that she didn't want to marry me. Well, I mean, I can't make her. It just doesn't work. There's nothing I could do. I just had to wait. I just had to say, all right, Lord, I want to get married, but I'm going to have to wait for you to decide if I'm going to get married, when I'm going to get married, and who I'm going to get married to. Because I can't just go out and find myself a girl and convince her to marry me. If I do, you know what? We'd both lie down in torment. Oh, my goodness. If I tried to convince someone to marry me, then they didn't want to, we'd both be miserable. So instead, I just, well, Lord, I sure hope that that happens, but you're going to have to decide. You're going to have to direct that. I'm going to submit. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to cease striving. I'm going to quit trying to make this happen and wait and see if you do. And he did. It was great. And he changed that little girl's mind. She married me. It was just fantastic. So here's the question, guys. Here's the question. We said there's a time to pursue a goal. There's a time to surrender to God, to submit to God. It's a time to strive, a time to surrender. What time is it? In your life, what time is it? Is it time for you to pursue a goal, to set goals, to strategize? To work hard, or is it a time for you to yield, to wait, to cease, to surrender, to just let God decide what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, if it's going to happen? What time is it? How do you know? I think we can look at this mistakenly, perhaps, as an issue of personality. Some people are type A drivers. Some people are more content to wait. This is not an issue of personality. Because this time applies to everybody. God didn't say, you know, if you're a type A guy, now's the time to pursue a goal. For the rest of you, now's the time to give up. No, he just says this to everybody. Not an issue of personality. Just really, really quickly, let me show you what I mean by that here in 2 Samuel. Again, this is David we're talking about here. I'm going to go through this very quickly. But David was in a situation where he needed something to happen. And here in chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, I'm going to read here in verse 18, says this. Now the Philistines, that's a nation next door that was constantly at war with Israel. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? So here come the Philistines. They're spread out in this certain valley. David says to God, hey, there's the Philistines. They're coming to attack us. What should I do? Should I go and attack them? So he asked God a question. This is what God said. The Lord answered him, go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you. So if you read the story here, David got his army together. He charged down the hill, won the battle. Okay? Verse 22, just another verse later, once more the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. Same thing, okay? Same enemy came to the same place, this certain valley. Now, it would have been easy for David, I think, to think, aha, I know what to do. I just went through this with the Lord. I know how to handle this situation. When the Philistines come to this valley, I asked God, he said, go fight them, so that's what we're going to do. It's not what David did. Instead, he asked again. So David inquired of the Lord. He didn't assume that what God told him to do last time is what God was going to tell him to do this time. And it's interesting here. In verse 23, so David inquired of the Lord, and he, God, answered, do not go straight up. But circle around behind them. And if you finish reading, God says, go stand in the trees. And when you hear the wind through the trees, come on out because I'll have wiped out the Philistine army by then. So in one case, God said, there's your goal. Strategize, pursue it, make it happen. The next exact same situation, God said, no, wait, stop, yield, I'll take care of it. So it's not an issue of personality. It's not an issue of circumstance. Here's what it is. It is an issue of relationship. Your relationship with God. Here's how you decide. Here's how you determine what time is it. Is it a time for me to set a goal, to strategize for that goal, and to work hard for that goal? Or is it a time for me to yield, to wait, to cease? You got to ask your dad. The only way you're going to know in any situation is to ask God. And that's the first thing you do. What time is it? Well, you ask. In Psalm 32, verse 8, I like this verse. It says, I, God, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. A different version says, I will counsel you with my eye upon you. See, you can just ask in any given situation, just like David, you can say, Lord, what should I do here? Do you want me to work hard or do you want me to wait? Is this a time for me to set goals? Is this a time for me to let you decide what's going to happen? Is this a time for me to strategize and plan? Is this a time for me to be still and quiet? In any given situation, you have to ask God, and then you need to, what's the next thing you need to do? Listen. See, if I would have asked you a question and then kept right on talking, what's the next thing you need to do? You know what? I saw something over here. If I don't stop and listen, I'm never going to hear. Too often, guys, we say, Lord, what should I do? And then we never give him a chance to answer. We just go off and do something. Lord, I don't know what to do, so I'll do this. Listen. Stop and listen. Is it extraordinary for you to think that God will answer you? He said, I'm going to counsel you with my eye upon you. I love this verse in Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, 21. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. If God is real, gang, if he has saved you, if he has adopted you into his family, if you have become a new creation like it says happens when we accept Christ, he can communicate with you. Now, in this world, you want to live well in this world? We need to cultivate our ability to hear God. So that, just like David, when we're in a situation, we know what to do. And the question we need to ask, I think, is this. We need to get good at this. If we want to know what time it is it time to pursue a goal, to strive, or is it time to wait, to surrender? We need to learn how to do this. Ask and hear the answer to this question. Lord, what do you want me to do right now? In real time. In this moment, in this circumstance. And I want to leave you with this passage in Psalm 73 that I think speaks to this. This is a guy named Asaph, different guy altogether, but I think he catches for us what this looks like and feels like to be able to do this, to be able to ask and hear the answer to this question, Lord, what do you want me to do right now? And in verse 23, he says this, yet I am always with you. You, God, hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me to glory. In verse 28, he says, but as for me, it is good to be near God. You want to know what time it is? You got to ask. You got to listen. You got to let your Father communicate with you, speak with you in real time. And guys, this is what we're striving for. What we're striving for in this life, if you want to live life well here, it's not I'm going to become stronger. It's not I'm going to become smarter. It's not I'm going to become more patient. Here's what it is. I'm going to become closer to you, God. And this is going to be more and more true of me. That more and more I'm learning what it looks like and feels like to hold your hand, to be guided by your counsel, and to be near you, to recognize and to feel how good it is just to be close to you. And my wife was saying, well, how do you do that? And I said, well, I don't know. How do you tell someone to fall in love? I don't know. There aren't 17 steps to this, guys, but I'll say this. If you desire it, and if you pursue it, it will happen. This will happen. Do you desire to hear God speaking to you? Will you just keep it up, not quit? I'm just going to keep coming close to you, God. I'm going to keep coming close to you. I'm going to keep coming close to you. Lord, draw me close. Help me, God. I don't know what to do. Speak to me. Help me, God. I feel distant. What do you want me to do something? Do you want me just to wait here and for you to come? But you have that conversation with God again and again and again and again. Not what should I do, but how close am I to you? And then when you need to know what to do, you'll be able to hear. Does that make sense? It is good, guys, in this broken world, for us to be near God. Lord, I just pray that that would be true of us, that you would help us. Help us, God, to be near you. We just desire to do that. We need to do that. Thank you that you want that for us. God, you want us to be near you. You want to be near us. Lord, by your grace, I pray that we would learn to be men and women who hold you by your right hand, who hear your words, and live our life close to you, Lord. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.